effectual open doors? Who believes that God opens effectual doors? You saw the door. So there's an effectual door, but the Bible actually also says this, that there will be many adversaries against us. So you can have an open door experience, but still come against things. Having an open door doesn't mean plain sailing. That you're in the bless me club and everything's going well and by and God's just going to do everything and you just have to sit back there and take a ride. No, 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 no. With every open door, you better expect confrontation. You better expect it. Don't be ignorant of it because it can rob you of hope. I really believe that God is opening effectual doors. I believe we are in a place of having an opening of an effectual door over this church and over the lives of these people to affect everything and everyone around you. I don't believe it's just to have a meeting. I believe it's for you to be filled, imparted to, pushed out, went and sent. And so when you are in that place of being sent and going, that there is something that you will deposit and release around you to those about you. Amen. There is something that God wants to see, and He wants to see a harvest. And even though I might be going through stuff in the open door, He'll still expect to see a harvest. Most of the stuff that I'll go through, most of the stuff I'll have to persevere with, is for my own benefit. He will challenge me to change me. He will cause me to have to endure that He might release and reveal. That He will see me go from a glory to a glory. That whatever's happening in my sphere, even though I'm walking in what He's designed and perfected for my life, and opposition comes against me, when I stand in the truth of what He's called me to do, and I stand in the truth of what He's designed for me to be, I will see that opposition flee in Jesus' name. It will teach me. It will cause me to face things in life. It will cause me to face attitudes and thinking. It will cause me to admit maybe I'm wrong and He's right. It will cause me to look at things in a different light, look at people in a different light. And all the time, in the midst of the night season, even though you're in an open door, you're going through a night season, He still expects a harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus never said the harvest is white and the laborers are few only in the day season. When everything's going well and everything's good and everything's happy, people are happy. No, 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 no. All seasons. This tree is to bear fruit in season and out of season. Amen. Hallelujah. As long as I'm attached to the vine and drawing from the source, I will bear fruit. Are you with me? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9 says this, "For a great effective door has opened to me," this is Paul, "and there are many adversaries, opposite, opponents, dispute and conflicts." There is many adversities against me, are present with me. Romans 7:21 says it like this, "When I desire to do something good, evil is present with me." There is a battle. Even though there's an open door, there's still a battle. Paul was suffering, even though he knew it was an effective open door. You think if it's an open door, a door being opened by God, everything will go well. You think, well, He's on my side, He's opened the door, everything's sweet by and by. It's just going to happen. No, 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 no. See, wherever there's a move of the Spirit, the enemy wants to quench it. He wants to stop it. He wants to shut that door. And what he'll try and use is people. Can I have an amen? It's people. The people aren't your enemy. It's what's coming out of their mouth, or their attitude, or their disposition, or their way they're doing things against you and opposing what God is trying to do. I have got to then get place and say, Lord, help me to challenge and change this situation. Lord, allow this time with you alone, This place where you're closing that door, where there's a shut door. Father, allow me to get in your presence. Change what's in me so there's a fragrance comes out of me that can change the atmosphere for where I dwell. He wants to change us. Who believes that? I don't remember where my glasses are. There they are. Luke 8:51 and 54 says this. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except for Peter, James, and John. And the father and the mother of this girl. This girl had died. This man had come to Jesus and said, Jesus, my daughter is dying. She died. The wailers, the moaners, and the groaners were there. Isn't it amazing death can attract a crowd? Eh? Death can attract. Do you know amazing gossip, backbiting, hatred can attract a crowd? They all wept and all mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but she's sleeping. It's all a matter of how you see things. I'm going to tell you, as Christians, a lot of the problems is determined how I see it. Amen? If you see death, if you see hopeless and despair, all you'll attract is the wailers, the moaners, and the groaners. But if you can see your God as more than able, come on now, if you can see him more than able, do not weep, she is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. When you start to believe by faith that this open door was given to you by God, but things aren't happening, in fact, the opposite is happening, you will have those who come against you. There will be adversity. Amen. But he put them all outside. What did he put outside? All of them. All them voices of negativity, doubt, unbelief, hatred, bitterness. He put them outside. I've got to put them, I've got to arrest them, captivate them, and put them outside of my thinking. Because stinking thinking will contaminate me. If I kept around that voice, as a man thinks, so he is. If I allow them voices keep echoing in my head over and over again, I've got to put them outside. So when the open doors, I believe that we're already walking. Some families should be already walking in open doors. Most of us should be walking in an open door. But when the adversities come, if I can get anything across to you this morning, you will have adversity. You will have a challenge. It will try and challenge your thinking. It will try and change your mind to negativity. It will try and utter words of doubt and unbelief. It will try and captivate you so you don't feel the joy, that you think you've missed it, that something's gone wrong. It will try and stop what God's intended for your life. Jesus put them all outside, took her by the hand and called her, saying, little girl, arise. Is there anything I need to put outside? Is there any thing I need to put outside my head? How I think. How I think. Jesus knew who he was. We need to know who we are. John 9, verse 21, I think it is, somewhere around there. John 9, 21. It says this. The blind man came to him. Jesus laid hands on him. It said this, and he said to him, go. And the word there is to the pool of Siloam. But literally, if you just take that Siloam out, it says, go to the place of sent. Go to the place of sent. And he went. Literally in one verse, go, sent, went. Go, sent, went. He says, go and wash in that place called scent. You've got to wash your mind continuously that you've been sent. You've got to wash your head, your spirit man, in the word of the Lord that you've been sent by God. You were born for such a time as this. You've got to wash your mind, wash that negativity, wash them concepts, them adversities, of them voices, and say, no, 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 he sent me. I've been sent. Therefore, if I've been sent, I'm in an effectual open door, but I am facing my adversity. And that adversity will flee in Jesus' name. We will have the victory. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is he not just in you, but around you and upon you than anything that this world has got to offer. But I must anchor my soul that I have been sent. Go and wash in the pool called sent. Therefore, I've got to remind myself that I've been called. I've got to remind myself that I've been sent. Then I've got to have the faith to go. Every born-again believer here this morning, you have been sent. Go you into all the world. You've been sent. A lot of times what the adversity does is says, are you really? Didn't you make do this and didn't you do that? How can you say to anyone about Jesus when you're not doing the same thing? And he brings condemnation and guilt. Those voices, those wailing voices, you've got to put them outside. Amen? And then you've got to wash yourself in scent. Say, God, I muck up. God, I make mistakes. God, I haven't done the right thing. But I know that I know that I know that I'm, as a born-again believer, have been called by you. You are not by coincidence and chance that you got born again. No man comes under the sun unless the Father draws them. There is no coincidences in God. You have been called for such a time as this. You and I should be effective in this kingdom world here on earth by the kingdom God of authority in me. There is a power and there's an anointing residing within you that can change the circumstance and the situation in your life. There is a power of the Holy Spirit residing within you that will not just change you. That will change everything around you if you allow the Holy Ghost to flow as he wants to flow. But so often we stop him. And it's not what they've done. It's not what they're saying that's stopping him. It's what I believe stops him. But what I receive from... See, words have power. If I believe their words, I can negate the life that's within me. Life and death are in the power of the... If you want something to live, speak it. If you want something to die, shut up. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Therefore, I've got to wash myself in scent. I've got to believe in scent. That's what anchored Paul's soul. After he'd written most of the New Testament, he said things like this in Philippians 3. That I may know him. Now, come on, Paul. What are you talking about? That you may know him? You've just written, you just interpreted the visions of God. You've just went to the third heaven and you're still saying that I may know him? I want to give you something, advice here this morning. There is more to God than what you can even think or imagine. That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. This resurrection life that's resident within me, I need to know the power of it. I need to walk in the power of it. I need to understand the power of it. That's power, this blood that purchased my life, this blood that was shed from his back when he was whipped. And his back was laid bare to bear my sin and to bear my iniquity. That's what I need to know. I need to know the power of Jesus Christ, not just in heaven, but on earth. I need to know it. The power of his resurrection. Because when I know it, I can go to the next phase. That I may. I may what? I may what? I may what? May know him, the power of his resurrection, and what? Not live my life to the end. No, that's not the one. And the fellowship of? The fellowship of suffering. You'll not understand the fellowship of suffering unless you know the power of his resurrection. What I used to think was this. Why am I going through this? Why? Oh, God, you're the God who opens the doors. And he shuts them. And also he gets you in an open door and he shuts doors so he can get you alone in the midst of your open door. He can shut a door in your life so he can minister to you. He can encourage you. He can fill you. He can exhort you so you can and be enabled to stand against these adversities until they come down. Amen. I better get going. Matthew 6 and 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've what? You need to shut the door on some things here. Hear me. You and I need to shut some doors this morning. Glory to God. Shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father will see in secret and will reward you openly. 2 Kings 4 and 4. And when you have come in, you shall, he's talking about the widow whose sons were going to be sold. This widow's two sons were going to be sold. She was the wife of a prophet, son of the prophets. He dies. He was in debt. She had to sell her two sons to slavery. That is not a good place to have. But that also shows me another little story there. You better be a faithful and just servant to make sure you and your house are looked after. Amen. You shall come in and shut the door. Elisha said, go and grab all the vessels you can get. Then she shut the door and she kept filling them. And when the last one was full, it stopped. Behind a shut door, he proves himself as your provider. Ah. Behind the shut door, he shows himself as an office God, the healer. That's what he did to the young girl. Behind the shut door, he teaches you to shut the mouth of the enemy. Behind your shut door, he'll cause you to rise up and go into a place called scent. Behind the shut door, God creates miracles. Behind the shut door where the enemy thinks he's got you trapped and he's got you confined, God's just building something in your life. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Next slide, please. Here we go. John 9, 20 verse 19 says this, and the same day as evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, and assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be to you. Behind your shut door, God will deal with your fears. Peace be to you. They didn't move. Then Jesus had to actually show up his hands and show the nail prints and the side. And said, the next verse it says, and they were glad. They were glad. Because they didn't just want to hear about that he was there. They needed to be shown that he was there. Do you know the world is waiting not just to hear something? The world is waiting to see the scars of your overcoming behind your closed door. The world is waiting to see not just information, hear information. They want to see you endured through the adversity, enduring no matter what's happening, enduring and bearing fruit in your night season. So when the night season's ended, they can see the risen Christ in you. They can see the power of God operating through you because there has been a change and there's been an exchange by the power of the Holy Ghost. Who believes that this morning? Who wants to see change? We better embrace the fellowship of our sufferings. We better say, Lord, this is of you. God, change me. Change me. He'll get you alone to conform you to the pattern of his son. The pattern son, Jesus Christ. All behind a closed door. In the private place, in the place of conflict, opposition, and disputes. So he can move you on to an open place. He can move you on so that you're not just speaking something, but you've lived something. You've lived something. They can see the change in you. They can see the peace resident upon you. They can see the hope that resides within you, this blessed hope. They can see the joy that is in you, not because of an event, not this happy stuff. Hear me, please hear me. Not this happy clappy stuff. Happiness is based, event-based. You can be happy and sad, moany and a groany many times a day. But there's an internal joy that no matter what is happening, that if you really believe and you're anchored in your scent, no devil in hell can rob you of your joy, which then invokes peace into your soul. So when there's a storm, hello, Paul, when there's a storm and there's a shipwreck, there's peace. When he hears the voice of the Lord and decrees something, that all these men shall be saved if you just be obedient to what I'm saying, and thanking Jesus in the midst of a storm, then getting on the other side, and when the devil and adversity comes and latches onto you, hello, snake, he latched onto the arm of Paul. And what did he do? Come on, what did he do? You got to shake it off. Come on now, when you're in the things of God, you've got to start to shake some things off. You've got to get rid of those things. And guess what? He shook it off, and the Lord didn't allow the poison to touch him. You've got to shake stuff off. I've got to shake stuff off. I've got to believe that I'm on my way to somewhere. He was sent, and he went. Amen. He was on his way to Rome. Jesus was going across the other side of the sea. He fell asleep. The storm rose. They panic. They wake up Jesus and they said, "Don't you care?" Jesus gets up and says, "Peace be still." I guarantee you he went back to sleep. How could Jesus fall asleep in a storm? Because his father had told him to go to the other. He hadn't arrived. Therefore, he could rest in the word of the Lord. He will get me to the other side. Stop being overcome by storms. If God wants you there, he'll get you there. If God wants to give it to you, he'll give it to you. And if he doesn't, don't fight God. He'll get us alone to conform us. He'll get us alone enough to transition us from where we're at to where he desires us to be. He'll get us alone enough to restore our peace, to fill our empty vessel, to bring you to a place of intimacy and to bring you to a life-giving spirit. That's what he did to every one of them. He filled her empty vessels. He brought them into a place of intimacy. He filled them with the Holy Ghost and he filled them with life-giving spirit. They were separated enough not to lean on people, but close enough to lean on him. He has to be my strength. He has to be my source. If I lean on people, they will fail me. Well, how do you know that? Because they are people. They will fail me. Intentionally or unintentionally, they will fail me. But God will fail you not. Lean on him to develop a strength of faith, a courage to cause a transition, to cause you to be effective in an effective open door. No use having an effective door open if I'm not going to be effective. I believe he has created us for such a time as this. One must learn to shut the door to the world, its ways, and the voice of criticism to enable one to hear with clarity and allow God to also shut the door to whatever else he sees in my life. The real development of my walk is behind a closed door. Not here. You've never seen the ugly side of me. My wife has. It's not here. It's behind the closed door when you're alone. Amen. Learning to walk in obedience to my Father's will, dealing with my pain, my wounds, and coming out behind the closed doors with an aroma of life that is pleasing to him, that it permeates and affects an atmosphere around my life. That's what he wants for his people. Separated. Develop the things of the Spirit, yet still hungry to see souls saved. Not allowing the devil to rob me to say, well, my testimony's been tainted. Well, get it washed in the blood. Come on now, just get it washed in the blood. Say, Lord, forgive me. And if you're faithful and just to confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. We can't camp. I've got to move on. I've got to get back to that mindset that I've been born for such a time. I want to fulfill the commission of the Lord on my life. I want to fulfill, before my last breath is taken, I want to fulfill the commission of the Lord on my life. And believe me, when I say this, with all sincerity, it is not long. Life is not long. It goes quickly. What am I doing with life? Your greatest commodity is not your house. It's not your money. It's not anything this world can offer. It's what God has given you that you can wake up every morning with breath in your body. What am I doing with life? He's come to give me life and life more. I want this abundance life, not in heaven. I want it here on earth. I want to live in the abundance of His joy and His peace and His goodness and His mercy and His grace on earth, that I can reflect the glory of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. In Galatians 6 and 14, it says this about Noah. God had to get Noah alone. I'm going to say that again. God had to get Noah alone to give him the wisdom and the vision. God had to get him alone. Genesis 12, verse 2, and Genesis 13, 11, he had to get Abraham alone, Abram. Genesis 12, he says this, I will make your name great. And everyone celebrates that. I will make my name great. That's wonderful, Jesus. But then he had to go through the process of being made a great man. Hallelujah. I will make your name great. But he had to get rid of his lot. Do you know it wasn't until Lot left that God says, now lift up your eyes. Now lift up your eyes. Sometimes you've got to get rid of that lot. Haven't done nothing wrong. Just God didn't intend you to walk with them. Get rid of that lot in your life. Sometimes God will place you behind closed doors to position you to bring healing, restoration, deliverance to a broken, dysfunctional family. Hello, Joseph. His house was a mess. I mean, come on. When 11 brothers want to kill you, you have an issue. When you're piping your mouth off and saying, yeah, all these haystacks and even my mother and my father's haystacks, they're going to bow down before me. I mean, most of them would want to slap you across the face. When you're the youngest punk that's there. But God had to get him alone. God had to get him alone. House was a mess. Even that vision, you know, even that vision that he said that the 10 would bow down, even his mother and father would bow down. Do you know it never got fulfilled? Because his mother died before the family went to Egypt. So even though he had a gift, he screwed up. 11 brothers wanted to kill him. Sold into slavery. Into prison. God's getting him alone. Can you imagine what's happening inside of him? I'm talking about a young 20-odd-year-old boy starting to smolder on this stuff that his family has done to him. In prison, God's still favoring him. But he's shut up. The door's closed behind him. Meets his baker and his butler. Uses his gift. Ha ha, remember me, remember me? They didn't remember him. 2 years later. 2 years. Then he remembered. He was called. He said. Then he said this, if the Lord will. God had done something in him behind the closed doors. God had done so much inside of him that when the brothers recognized who he was, love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, provision, flowed out of him. And he said something profound. This wasn't your doing. God sent me here. God was using adversity. God was using the gossip. God was using all that stuff to change this young man to affect the nation, to turn his family, to restore the brothers. So from a dysfunctional, they became functional. Amen. Joseph was alone. Next slide, please. He had to get Moses alone. Still in the will of God. Still an open door. But he had to get him alone to meet with God. He knew about God, but he didn't know God. He had to get Jacob alone to change him and his walk. He had to get Jonah alone to learn how to submit. He had to get the widow alone so he could become her source. He had to get Elijah alone so he did not live in fear, but he had to learn the still small voice. He had to get Jesus alone so he could be strengthened for the hour that was at hand. Fellowship. Refreshment. And God will get you alone to do and minister whatever he needs to minister to you. So that door, that effectual door, you will be effective in it. Amen. And it's not about you. All the time God is using everything around about you, even people with you, to bring a glory out of you that you can reflect the pattern son, the Christ in you, the hope of their glory. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he'll get you alone so you can move in the open place, able to be fishers of men, regardless of the opinions of people. Hallelujah. Follow me, and I will make you. I'm going to say that again. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's a making in the following. You don't follow, you get undone. John 20, verse 20. Jesus came to them and he walks in the midst of them. He declares peace to them. I've read that. But they weren't moved and he showed them his hands and his side. They were glad. They were glad. People need to see a life that's not just full of information, but a life that's been transformed by the power of the resurrection. A life that's been transformed by the power of the resurrected Christ. God wants to see fruit in you. Amen. In fact, my Bible says he has an investment in you. And he wants to see a return in you. He's invested something in you. People are saying, don't tell me how to live my life. Show me how to live a life. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. People are waiting to be shown how to live for Christ. People want to see you behind that closed door come out, full of the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God, full of the love and the joy and the peace. You might go in as a Joseph, all twisted up, dysfunctional family. But hear me, if you allow the course of the Spirit of God to flow through your life, and all of a sudden you lean on him and not lean on your own strength, lean upon his grace and his mercy, you will come out of full with the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God, where you can look beyond the fault of the person and say, hey, It's a God thing. He changed me. He changed me. I forgive you. I love you. I'll restore to you. He's put me in this position. Isn't it wonderful when you have to go through something? And even though you might be in the pit, he's still there. He's still there. Show me, this is what they're saying, show me your wounds from behind the closed door and how you still live. Why aren't you angry with them? Why don't you want justification? Why don't you want to hit back at them? Why don't you want a piece of them? Why don't you? The answer is this. Because of the Christ who's in me. And I am not of that spirit. I've been born again. I've been born again. And I'm on a mission because I've been to my scent and I've washed my mind and I know that I've went. And the command is to keep going and keep going and keep going until the mission is complete. That when I stand before my master, I'll hear words like this: well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now you can enter into the rest of the Lord because you've worked hard. Enter into the rest of the Lord. I see your faithfulness. And here is my reward for you. Hallelujah. That is the greatest word I can ever want to hear in my life. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. You finished your race. You endured the adversity. You endured the pain and the hiccups and the garbage that people might have splattered around with you. You've endured it, and you've come out with an aroma of my spirit. Well done. Hallelujah. And it will change the world around you. Who believes that this morning? It will change the world around you. So often we want an argument. So often we want to argue between right and wrong. That, why should I? Do I have to? Just, best word I can say, just die. Just die to that. And allow God to resurrect you in resurrection power. Amen? I could go on, but we're going to stop. Let's stand this morning. There is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. There is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been going through hell and high water. Some of you are trying to fight the waters instead of riding the storm. Some of you have so much dysfunction in your house and you're trying to fight the dysfunction. Some of you have heard a call saying, go, but you haven't got the scent and washed your mind with the vision and the mission of God. I want to tell you this morning, your God is here to bring change. Your God is here to bring change. Your God is here. I'm not telling you he's going to rescue you from that adversity, but he's going to strengthen you to see for what it is and come forth. Amen? Come forth in the power of the resurrection Christ with an anointing to change the atmosphere you might be dwelling in. If that's you here this morning, you just raise up your hands. If you want to see change, you want to see change. Yet for me and my house. Yet for me and my house. Brother will fight against brother, sister against sister, mother against father, children, fathers against their children. Dysfunction, dysfunction. Lord, we break that thing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Today is a brand new day. And God, that I won't walk through that open door in the name of Jesus. An effectual open door. knowing, my God, that I will have to face my enemy, but knowing, my God, that I can be effective in it. And Father, to bring the change required, use me. You go flow through me to bring the change in Jesus' name. Lord, help me to arrest every voice of negativity. Help me to arrest every voice of doubt. Help me to arrest every voice of unbelief. Let me cut them out and push them out the door in the name of Jesus. Father, that I would walk as a man of the Spirit after the pattern, Son, that Christ may get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise through it all in the name of Jesus. I thank you, today is that new day, that Father, I've been born for such a time as this in Jesus' name. And Father, that I have an anointing from the Holy One, that I can do all things through Christ in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. Help me to wash my mind at scent. Help me to walk out of here fully persuaded, fully convinced that I'm here, I'm there. You might be here, you might be there, but you're there for a reason. He doesn't make mistakes. I'm going to say that again. He doesn't make mistakes. What's coming out of my mouth? Father, we yield to you this morning. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven and on earth. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. And I give you all the thanks that you're a can-do God and all things are possible to him who believes. If that's you this morning, shout an amen. Receive it. Receive it this morning. Shout an amen. Wash my mind, Jesus. Change my mind, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. I will not walk out of here the same. I am born again. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week, a great week in Jesus' name. Amen. Too late. No, I don't want to be on here. I don't want to be on here. What?